This is the United States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On this week's show, Bill McMullen will be here to talk about an article that he's co-authored on the use of the leg. And later on, Dr. Duncan Peters will bring us up to date on some recent research on girths. But first, those of you who attended the 40th Annual Dressage at Devon competition, which took place from September 29th to October the 4th, will know that due to severe weather, some of the classes had to be rescheduled, and many top combinations found themselves competing through rain and cold weather. Winners included Christelot Boylan from Canada, who won the Grand Prix, and Michaela Munter-Gunderson riding Janine Rumbaugh's My Lady, posted their fourth CDI victory, winning the Grand Prix Freestyle, and Christina Vinios riding Folkestone won tests in all three divisions of the small tour, Pre-Saint-Georges, Intermediaire 1, and the Intermediaire 1 Freestyle. The complete results of all the classes from this year's Dressage at Devon can be found at dressageatdevon.com. And now to our first guest this week, the USDF recorded judge, USDF certified instructor through fourth level, and USDF instructor trainer program faculty member, Bill McMullen. Bill, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Chris.
Well, we're going to talk about the article that you wrote for the USDF Connection magazine, which is in the October issue. The title is called Use the Leg, but what is the premise behind the article, Bill?
The premise of the object of the article was to give a little more detailed explanation and some exercises that would help riders to understand a little bit more specifically about how to use the leg and parts of the leg. But also, as you go through the article, specifically talking about not just the leg, but how it obviously coordinates and has to be part of our whole aiding system for riding a horse correctly.
So how have you broken down the article? Just talk us through it, if you would, Bill.
I mean, we start talking about just the basic overall leg position, how a rider has to, and again, I can't help talk about any parts of it without getting to talk about the seat, because the leg is part of our building blocks and again, related to how we ride the horse overall, but we have to start with a balanced seat on the horse and a leg that can hang relaxed from the top of the hip and stay draped around the horse's side. And then we talk a little bit more specifically about the different types of leg aids that we can use, which are broken down as a forward driving leg aid, a forward and sideways driving leg aid, and also a guarding outside leg.
So when you break it down scientifically, you know, there are so many different components to it in terms of how to apply it effectively. It's not just keeping the leg on, is it?
Exactly. Again, the forward driving leg has to be there. We have to establish with the horse and rider that they have the correct placement of the lower leg, but from the calf, just when it's on the inside, just barely behind, a little bit behind the girth, but not too far back. And it still has to have a flexible ankle joint that can be applied from the inside to help bring the inside hind leg forward. And the outside leg as well, especially when we're on a straight line. And then we're on a curved line in the circle, then we talk about that guarding outside leg. It has to prevent the haunches from swinging to the outside. In terms of how to use the inside leg, the forward sideways driving leg has to come with, as we add it to a little bit, to thinking about the leg yield or even the shoulder and to ride forward with the bend of the horse so he goes forward into the connection.
Do you talk about different exercises that riders can do to fully understand the different uses of the leg?
Absolutely. The turn on the forehand is one that we illustrate in the article that very clearly uses all the aids that we just talked about in terms of the horse is in a square halt and accepts the rider's aids standing squarely and relaxed in the halt, that he flexes to the inside and the other leg that is going to yield him away. Our inside leg has that forward and sideways driving pressure, so it comes slightly back, but not too far. We want to make sure a rider doesn't overreact and bring the leg back too far to bring the haunches, to step the haunches then from left to right. And it's an also important part here that the outside guarding leg, they really find that that helps to regulate how to make sure that the haunches also don't go too quickly over, that we can regulate, through the guarding leg to say the haunches only go at this rate as I bring the inside hind leg crossing over. So that's really the turn in the forehand exercise, really for horse and rider, is such a valuable exercise at any level. For novice riders through the top levels, horse and rider still need to be able to execute that very simple exercise to say, here's my inside, my forward sideways pushing leg, my guarding leg, and in terms of coordinating the use of the seat and into the correct contact so they stay flexed to the inside and reaching into the outer rein. So again, this all ties into, like I said, the development of the horse and the training scale from the lower levels, from a green horse up through the higher levels, that this has to be reinstated and to make sure it's part of our everyday work and understanding and riding.
Do you relate it to the seat and the rider's position, Bill? Because we know, obviously, dressage saddles have the pads, the thigh rolls and the knee rolls, and to put the leg in position. Do you talk about the relativity of the rest of the body in the core?
Absolutely. No, that's a huge part. Like I said, we can't help but talk. We can't talk about the leg without talking about those parts for sure. And again, if it's inside, thinking about the inside or the forward driving leg and even the sideways pushing leg and how the inside seat and hip react, that we can offer the inside seat and hip a little bit to the front. So it's not sliding backwards. And then when the outside lower leg comes back to the guarding leg, then the hip is open and in a way the seat stays a little bit behind, but still level over your seat, that you're not collapsing in the rib cage or collapsing the hip in order to achieve this. Say, for instance, in riding forward in a shoulder end, that our inside seat is prominent in riding forward to the front from our inside driving leg, and then the outside seat is also, again, not that it comes off the saddle, but stays a little bit further back and helps that guarding leg, so that in a shoulder end, for instance, we're not just pushing the haunches to the outside, but have the haunches ride forward and the horse bending through its body with the forehand placed to the inside.
And with the saddles that do put the leg in that position, do you always advocate that they use those type of saddles, or do you suggest exercises without a saddle or without stirrups or with a flat panel to educate the leg?
Oh, absolutely. Riding, and we talk about this in the article also, in terms of a novice rider, especially, and developing their position, their balance seat, so that they have more independent use of all their aids. Work on the lunge line with and without stirrups, and also work off the lunge line without stirrups when it's in a correct, controlled environment and on a safe horse, et cetera. Of course, we have to get those, hopefully, without saying. But that really helps a horse, a rider especially, to be able to develop a more relaxed and balanced seat that lets them get more independent control of their leg position and their hand position and the coordination of all those aids to understand about riding forward into contact and, again, to keep focusing on the development of the training scale.
And in terms of that, as you mentioned, the independent seat, the correct use of the leg and the many different roles the leg has to play, a lot of riders these days use Pilates and other exercises to develop the core strength and to obviously help stabilize the knee, that sort of thing. Do you advocate any particular exercises off the horse to help the rider, Bill?
I think Pilates especially is a very good system for people to become aware of their bodies and to develop more core control and independent use of their body. But others too, is yoga and any basic exercise that keeps a rider physically fit is important. But some of these is specifically toward core strength and independence in the body control is absolutely important. But it does come down to that time in the saddle is really the number one best way to understand and gain use of that. But a rider does have to remain fit in order to be able to, and limber to be able to have a chance of doing it correctly.
if you had to summarize the message that you would like to convey with this article, Bill, what would it be?
I think the main point is this development of riders developing an independent use of their aiding system. You know, like I said, the leg can't be talked about without the other aids in terms of the amount of contact and so on. A horse has to go, in order for a horse to go forward with impulsion, impulsion doesn't exist without contact, and contact doesn't exist without impulsion. And that's all tied in with how the leg, feet, and hand all work together with good body and core control to establish this in a good going horse, whether it's training level or Grand Prix.
And that article, again, Use the Leg from the series of Dressage Puzzlers, is featured in the current issue, the October issue of the USDF Connection magazine. And we should point out that, Bill, you co-authored that article with Amber Heinsberger.
Absolutely, yes. She was terrific in helping to put the whole article together.
Well, thank you very much indeed for coming on the program.
Well, you're welcome, Chris. I enjoyed it very much. Thank you for your time, too.
And now Dr. Duncan Peters joins us again. This time he has an update on some research that was recently carried out on girths.
We're going to talk about some myth busters in equine sports medicine. We're going to keep it kind of light. Didn't want to make it too serious along the way. Oh, we'll start out here. Something relatively simple. You should tighten your girth to be able to get a hand, flat hand between it, it and the horse. Well, they've done work in this area. Looking at tight girths and performance. The Australian research team compared a variety of different types of girths as well as different levels of tightness associated with the girth, and they worked horses on treadmills at a gallop to a certain level of tiredness. And if anyone's ever seen a horse on a high-speed treadmill, they basically monitor their heart rate, and you have a standard exercise test, and you can tell when the horse is getting to maximum output or a certain level of output, and so you can make assessments of that horse along the way. And so they use girths that had different materials, as I said, and also different levels of tightness associated with them. And the results were that all elastic or elastic insert girths were better than solid girths, leather, or canvas. Yeah, that sounds pretty logical. That doesn't sound like too much of a problem. But the more loosely applied girths also gave a longer run to fatigue type of times on the treadmill or this exercise. So when you go there and crank that girth up to make it as tight as you can, you may be affecting your horse's performance. And that's what they actually found on these treadmill tests. And certainly girths are becoming more and more innovative in terms of how they're being used and the designs. If you go to any saddle shop or look through some of the catalogs, certainly you'll see a wide variety of that. And basically what this told us is that expansion of the thoracic cavity for circulation and respiration is very important in these performance horses. And we talk about horses that may not be running on a treadmill, but are working in an intense atmosphere or some pretty good duration of time, and certainly it can be a factor. And horses do have a preference, they also found, for particular materials. Some horses tended to respond better to leather, and others tended to elastic. And you, again, there's a variety out there. And so if you sense some type of concern with your horse, with your tack, or the way they react under saddle, you know, just looking at something as basic as that may make a difference in what happens. As with anything, we said, you know, you'll fall off if you have your girth too loose. It's always a balance between that tightness and that stability that you're looking for. And the other thing that was interesting in that study is that when these horses finished, they would loosen the girths or not loosen the girths up. And it was very, very interesting. That had a big effect on their recovery times. So once your horse has gone through his workout, it certainly doesn't hurt. So loosening that girth certainly can be beneficial there. What about tightening the girth from the non-elastic side? horse. You don't get it too tight, or you don't unbalance the horse from always tightening it from one side and putting pressure across, or the one girth that the girth that only has elastic on one side. You see people on the elastic side tighten it up, but you go to the other side, it can be a little more difficult to get that tightness or that snugness. Well, that's been looked at also. These people in Belgium looked at this. And to determine if tightening the girth from the right side varied the pressure with elastic or a flat leather girth, elastic on one end or elastic on both ends. And it did not make a difference with the leather, flat leather, or with the elastic on both ends. It didn't make a difference whether you tightened it from the left to the right side. The pressures were exactly the same. The total girth pressure was reduced when it was tightened from the non-elastic end. Okay, so again, you can't get it as tight. You just can't get that pressure if you're doing it from the solid end of the girth. That's versus the elastic end. And it also required more force to obtain the same tension or pressure under the girth when it was tightened from the non-elastic end. And I think we all probably know this. If you try to tighten it on that right side on a single-sided elastic, it's a lot harder there to tighten it and try to get the pressure or get the stability there. And overall, the girth pressure equilibrated no matter what you did within a couple of steps. So even though you did get some increased pressure, it didn't really matter. The horse moved, everything shifted a little bit, and the pressure disappeared, and it was completely equilibrated across the face of that girth. So you can tighten it on the right side, but it may not be quite as tight as if you did it from the left side. So in terms of looking at some of these girths, this is sort of the newest fad. The Fairfax girth, everyone's heard of it or heard a little bit about it in terms of it was kept secret before the Olympics by the British team, so the word didn't get out. But they looked at gait analysis to evaluate movement with the Fairfax girth, and they found that they improved forelimb protraction to about a third. They reduced the peak pressures that were involved with the around the chest cavity by as much as 82% with the same stability. And they said, basically the ads and the gait analysis and some video analysis, that it increased hock flexion, improves gait symmetry in terms of jumping horses. They have a jumping girth also. It increases their power at takeoff and improves jumping neatness. So horses actually jump better was their claim. I don't know if all these things are true, but the fact that they kept it a secret probably means something. But there are a lot of girths out there.
And our thanks again to Dr. Duncan Peters, who will once again be joining us for the Adequan USDF Annual Convention. And if you'd like to know more about these girths and the research of their effects, please take a look at the October USDF Connection article entitled Girth Up. And a reminder to visit the website for the latest news and update on the meetings and educational sessions that will take place during the annual convention, which takes place this year at the Rio All Suite Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada, from December the 2nd through the 5th. You'll find more information on the website at usdf.org. Just click on the link for convention. And whilst you're on the website, be sure to check out all the latest educational information and resources on eTrack. That's it for this week's program. As always, you can download it from the iTunes podcast store to any podcast app, as well as listening online, of course, at usdf.org. Until next time, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world. And remember, the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.